You would take your Bibles and open up to Jeremiah chapter 36. Start reading with me in verse 1, if you would, please. And it came about in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Take a scroll and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning all the nations from the day I first spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. Perhaps the house of Judah will hear all the calamity which I plan to bring on them, in order that every man will turn from his evil way. Then I will forgive their iniquity and their sin." It's not God's will that any should perish. And we see that here, don't we? God doesn't want to have to bring judgment against them, and He's giving them one last chance to come to their senses. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote at the dictation of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him on a scroll. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, "I'm restricted. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. So you go and read from the scroll which you have written at my dictation the words of the Lord to the people in the Lord's house on a fast day. And also you shall read them to all the people of Judah who come from their cities. Perhaps their supplication will come before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way." God is concerned not only about Judah collectively, but He's concerned about each individual person, because He's hoping that even individuals will turn from His evil way. "For great is the anger and the wrath that the Lord has pronounced against this people." And so Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came about in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that all the people of Jerusalem and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. And Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, to all the people. So this word of the Lord that was written on the scroll has now been read to all the people, for all the people to hear, in hopes that they might repent and turn back to the Lord. Well, verse 11, now when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and behold, all the officials were sitting there. So he tells the officials what he had heard and how concerned he was about it. And so the officials send for Baruch and have him come and read to them the words that are on this scroll. And after they hear it, they say, "We need to tell the king about this." And they're concerned. These officials seem to me to be principled men who are, or at least to some extent, and are concerned about what they've heard, and they think the king needs to hear this. And so they tell Baruch to go and hide, you and Jeremiah, go and hide yourselves. And so they bring the scroll before the king. And the king is sitting in his house. It's in the winter time. And he's got a fire going. And he asks Jehudi to read the scroll to him. And so Jehudi starts to read it. And as he's reading it, the king takes a scribe's knife. And after he reads three or four lines, the king takes his knife and cuts off those three or four lines and throws it in the fire. And he says, read it, read some more. And he reads another three or four lines and he takes the scribe's knife and he cuts it and throws it into the fire. And this continues until the entire scroll has been cut into pieces and thrown into the fire. And it's interesting to me that Elishama, who was the scribe who had a chamber in the king's house, was present. Barak is a scribe. He's the assistant to Jeremiah. But Elishama is also a scribe in a chamber in the king's house. And he's present when this is happening, but he doesn't say anything. And the scribes were responsible for making copies of the law and caring for it and taking care of it. And yet he's there present when this is taking place and he says nothing. Some of the other noblemen of the king protest in verse 25. Even though Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah entreated the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. It says in verse 23 that the king was not afraid. Verse 24, that he was not afraid. His servants were not afraid, and they didn't tear their garments. They seemed to be completely unconcerned about what the king was doing. And when I read this, I just can't believe the brazen disregard and disrespect that Jehoiakim is showing toward a revealed message from God Almighty. And so, starting in verse 27, I'll read again. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll, and the words which Barak had written at the dictation of Jeremiah, saying, take again another scroll and write on it all the former words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written on it that the king of Babylon certainly will certainly come and destroy this land and shall make man and beast to cease from it? He's protesting. He's saying, Jeremiah, why did you write those things? I didn't want to hear those things. You didn't write the kinds of things I wanted to hear. Therefore, thus says the Lord, concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I shall also punish him and his descendants and his servants who stood by and watched him do this and said nothing and had no fear in their hearts, they're going to be punished too for their iniquity. And I shall bring on them and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judah all the calamity that I have declared to them, but they did not listen. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Barak, the son of Neriah, the scribe, and he wrote on it all the dictation of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. Ever since the fall of man, men have ignored or tried to, in some way, whether it was physically or in other ways, destroy the Word of God. And why do they do it? They do it for the same reason Jehoiakim did it. They don't want to hear it. It's not what they want to hear. They don't want to be restricted in any way. And so when God tells them, you can do this, this, and this, but I don't want you to do this or this, they don't want to be restricted. And so they ignore it. They try to discredit it, physically destroy it, whatever. We know that through history, men have actually, you know, burned Bibles and things like that. For 1,000 years, the Roman Catholic Church forbade their members to have a Bible and to read the Bible. We know that Lenin and Stalin in communist Russia destroyed Bibles and forbade the practice of Christianity. And there's other places in the world even today where it's forbidden. But do what you will. You cannot prevent the will of God, and you cannot destroy the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Jehoiakim may not have liked what was written on the scroll, but what was written on the scroll was truth. And he had no interest in truth. If we're going to be what we ought to be, and if we're going to have the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him, we have to be lovers of and seekers of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then one last passage, and I'll read it from Scripture. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And there's many, many other passages we could look at, but I'll read this one and we'll close. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If Jehoiakim had valued the message that God had sent to him and had treated it with respect rather than disrespect, he and the nation of Judah could have received a blessing from God even at that 11th hour, at that late date. And God saw everything he did. No creature is hidden from his sight. Everything's laid open and bare. And I know that we, as Christians, know these things. But we need to remind ourselves from time to time of them so that we don't ever get to a point in our heart where we treat with disrespect and disregard God's Word. If you're here tonight as one who is not a Christian, I would encourage you to give that serious thought and consideration. If you do not know what you need to do to become a Christian, we'd be glad to spend time with you after we dismiss from the worship assembly to help you understand better what that is. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, in either case, if you would come as we stand and sing.